Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me from the screen the title of this morning's message? We all have our ups and downs. As someone has said, ain't it the truth? We all have our ups and downs. Our message is based on the Transfiguration Gospel from Mark 9, this verse. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And there he was transfigured before them. And later, and as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they'd seen till he had risen from the dead. I invite you to follow in your handout this morning our sermon outline as we consider our theme, we all have our ups and downs. Well, there's an old saying, you've heard it, even the children knew it. Say it with me if you want. What goes up must come down. This is a famous proverb and a famous saying, but where did it come from? What does it mean? Now, I researched this, and there are actually a few possibilities. Some attribute this saying to Sir Isaac Newton, the famous English scientist in the 1600s. He's the man credited with discovering, or at least teaching, the law of gravity by dropping various objects of various weights from heights. He learned what comes up must come down. But another source says this saying actually came from the time of the war, when soldiers on the ground were shooting large anti-aircraft guns at enemy planes flying above them. And the gunners had a tradition of taking the first shot for luck before any planes came by. But their commanders told them to be careful firing their guns straight up in the air, because if they hit nothing, what went up must come down and perhaps right upon their own heads. Now, did you know there's a such thing called the trivia dictionary? The trivia dictionary asks this question. See if you know the answer. What goes up but does not come down? The answer is your age. And the truth is, on a more serious note, isn't it true? We all, every one of us, have our up and down experiences. When we travel, we go up a hill and go down the road. With our emotions, we can feel up or we can feel down. Wages go up and down. Sales go up and down. The market goes up and down. In school, your grades can go up or down. Good or bad experiences can be referred to as uppers or downers. I'm sure you have all had your own ups and downs. On this Transfiguration Sunday, our sermon is all about ups and downs. In the gospel reading from St. Mark, it tells us that one day Jesus took three of his closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, up a mountain. The text says he led them high up a mountain. Now, going up a mountain is a common biblical event. Moses went up a mountain to receive the Ten Commandments from God on Mount Sinai. The people of Israel went up mountains and hills to build places of worship like Bethel and Shiloh and Jerusalem. The prophet Elisha went up Mount Carmel to fight the false prophets of Baal to prove once and for all who was the true God. Jesus went up mountains and hills to pray, to give the Sermon on the Mount, to the Mount of Transfiguration, and finally, to the Mount of Calvary for the cross. Today's gospel reading finds Jesus taking some disciples up a mountain to prepare them for the end of his earthly ministry and his appointment, his divine appointment with the cross. Upon this particular mountain that day, something will happen that will verify and prove all that he's told them about who he is and why he has come. This event is called the Transfiguration. Now, some surprises came down on that mount for the disciples of that Jesus that day. St. Mark tells us. And Jesus was there transfigured before them. His clothes became radiant, white and dazzling white. This means the glory of Almighty God fell in a powerful way upon Jesus. This was a confirmation to him and the disciples of who he really is and why he came. He is Almighty God in human flesh who has come to be with, to die for sinful people. Jesus' dazzling white appearance reminds us of the presence of Almighty God on Mount Sinai when God gave Moses the commandments. Listen to Exodus 34. And Moses came down from Mount Sinai with two tables of the law. And Moses' face shone with the glory of God, and the people were afraid to come near because of the shining brightness. But an even better passage than that about the dazzling heavenly transfiguration glory is written by St. John in his vision of a resurrected, ascended Jesus in the book of Revelation. John says in Revelation 1, And there I saw one like the Son of Man, clothed in a white robe. His hair was white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet shining in burnished bronze, glowing like a furnace. But another big surprise came down upon that mountain that day. In Mark 9:4, we read this. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. How would you have liked to have been there that day? Jesus in his transfiguration glory, and then, lickety-split, Moses and Elijah there talking with Jesus. Why these two Old Testament figures? Moses represents all of God's laws and his commandments. Elijah represents all of God's prophets. Their presence on this mountain declare clearly that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the complete fulfillment of all of the hopes of the Old Testament. The hopes of the law and the prophets are fulfilled in Jesus. What an up experience for Jesus and his disciples. Peter, James, and John never wanted to go down. They wanted to stay there and bask in the up. Bask in the glory of God. Bask in the presence of the transfigured Jesus and Moses and Elijah. Peter, who was known for having a foot in mouth disease, you know what that means is, open your mouth, insert your foot. Peter often spoke without thinking. He said, Lord Jesus, it's so good that we're here. Let's put up three tents, one for Moses, one for you, one for Elijah. We never want to come down. Let's have an eternal camping trip on this mountain. Lord, this is heaven. We never want to go down. But Peter, Jesus had to go down from that mountain. He had to go down from that mountain of glory, and Peter and James and John, he had to take you with him. Because Jesus had a divine appointment with the cross, this is why he really came. You see, Jesus went down from that mountain that we might go up. He went down that we might go up. He went down from that Mount of Transfiguration. He went down from the glories of heaven to the dust and the dirt and the pain of this earth. He went down from heaven so that we might go up to heaven. But Jesus also came down from heaven. And down from that Mount of Transfiguration, that he might be lifted up on the cross to pay for your sins, to pay for my sins, and for the sins of the world. In John chapter 3, verses 14 and 16, speaking of himself and his soon coming crucifixion, Jesus said these words about up and down. The Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He said, I must be lifted up, that is, crucified on the cross. For that is why I've come. On that glorious transfiguration day, Jesus came down from the Mount of Glory so that the very promises of Scripture would be fulfilled, so that by his crucifixion for our sin, people would be drawn to him in faith. He himself said it in John 12, verse 32. He said, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, that is crucified, when I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. After Jesus was lifted up on that cross, he then went down to the grave of death, dying for your sins, substituting his death for your death. And Holy Scripture says, though he died, he became alive. And at the same time, he descended down into the very pits of the prison of hell. Listen carefully, not to suffer. The suffering of hell he already experienced on the cross. He descended to hell to proclaim his victory, to thumb his nose at the devil and said, you thought you had me on Friday, but it's Sunday and I've come back and the victory is mine. Listen to what Peter says. 1 Peter chapter 3. For Christ also died for sins once and for all, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he then went and made proclamation to the spirits in prison. And you know what his message was to the spirits in prison? The theme of our Book of Revelation study. God wins, the bad guys lose, and I, Jesus Christ, reign forever. And one day, are you looking forward to that day? One day, and we celebrated that day yesterday, right here in this place at 11 a.m. with a send-off service for our sister in Christ, Dorothy Turnbull. One day, our Lord will take us up to be with him in heaven forever. And there with Peter and James and John and all God's people, we will bask in his transfigured, resurrected glory. And like Peter, we will want to set up tents to live there forever. And guess what? Here will be another example of what goes up will never again have to ever go down. St. John the Apostle put it this way in Revelation chapter 21. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, the dwelling of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will be their God, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There will be no pain or suffering, for the former things have passed away. My dear friends, until that day, In the meantime, never forget, Jesus is the Lord of all of your ups and your downs. And one more thing. Jesus will never let you down. In the name of Jesus. Amen.